A few weeks ago, it's one of those mornings where you read something and it's just just feels like a small drop that you receive. But it's just like one of those occasions where, you know, you really just experience the still small voice just whispering in your ear. And it was interesting, last Sunday at the camp, Andrew's also preaching on this. And what it is, I thought about a title for the sermon, and I came up with something. And what I came up with is very much, it sounds like a late 80s, early 90s Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan rom-com, with the title track being done by Celine Dion. I'm sure she'll have a song in her entourage called Endearing Love. So that's the title of my sermon. But I know the crowd that I'm talking to is obviously saved, spirit-filled, and obviously heard a lot of sermons on the topic of love. But I really just want to urge you, because I really feel it is something that God wants to hammer home, just hit on the head, to really sink into our lives. Now we know, you know, I've just in my introduction said, you know, we had the whole media, a lot of movies, a lot of songs. I mean, when we grew up, you know, how many songs was done on the topic of love? You know, the 100 greatest love songs ever. You know, there's like numerous albums like that. But I thought about a story that, you know, we even have the National Love Day being, you know, like in the world, being Valentine's Day. And I thought back at school, which is actually so funny. On Valentine's Day, when I was in high school, we had the 300, 400 boys on one side of the school, and then the 300, 400 girls on completely the other side. And on Valentine's Day, you wanted a card, if you were honest about it. You just didn't want it in front of all the other 300 or 400 boys that was also standing there. And what this one teacher did is, if there was like 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 cards, you know, he would read out the name of the boy and he would have to go forward in front of everyone, all the boys, to go and collect that card. And you just didn't want a card then. You didn't. But if you were honest with yourself afterwards, after this whole, you know, episode played out, you actually wanted one. You wanted to receive one, you know, just to know, you know, there's actually someone out there, you know, that likes me, or, you know, fancies me, you know, to use the correct word. I thought about the Oxford. I thought, okay, well, if we're talking about love this morning, I'll probably have to go to the dictionary and let's just define this thing called love. In the words of Queen, this thing called love. Now, the Oxford definition, there's 5 definitions. An intense feeling of deep affection, I thought was probably, you know, a really good description if you want to go on what is love. It is probably, yeah, an intense feeling of deep affection. The second one, a deep romantic or sexual attachment to someone, fine. A great interest and pleasure in something, or a person or a thing that one loves. And the fifth one is actually, I think, then just kind of the spanner in the works, the funny one. In tennis or squash, a score of 0. Apparently from the phrase, play for love. Which means if I have 15 or 30 or 40, you know, 30 love, the guy on the other side has got 0, so he's playing for the love of the game. He's got 0. So that's why it's apparently 15 love, 30 love. He's playing for the love of the game because he's got nothing except his love for the game. Love is the affection towards someone, that intense feeling you have towards them. If we really want to define it. Now, we can go to the word if you want to get serious for a bit. We can go to Romans 5, verse 1 to 5. I think I've got it on there. But you can go there in your Bibles with me, or just put a marker there, something you can go and read in the week. And I want to lay behold you, I want to lay before you something that that I was just hit with again. And that's why I thought, you know, this is something that God probably wants to tell us this morning. The fact that we have God's love in us by the Holy Spirit. And so many times we feel or we think, you know, we are run dry, we are on the ground, we don't feel like we can love someone, and I want to say to you today that's not what the word says. And let's read it. It's not what I say. Let's read Romans 5, verse 1 to 5. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It's very clear. I mean, I don't really have to add much onto that. If you are sitting here and you've been, so just follow me now. If you're sitting here and you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it means that the love of God lives in you. I can make that assumption because that's what verse 5 says. The love of God is in the individual that's been baptized in the Holy Spirit, which I believe the majority that I'm speaking to today has been baptized. So I think I'm speaking to the right crowd this morning. You all of you have the love of God. Now, if you, and I think this is where it gets tricky and where it can get difficult, is sometimes we have so many things in our minds that tell us otherwise. But I want to say to you this morning, it's by the Spirit of God, not by the mind of God. You have the Spirit that you've been baptized in, and therefore you have the love of God. It's not up here. It's in your spirit. So keep that in the back of your minds this morning, that you have the love of God by the Spirit of God. I know we go through so many different things. We're sometimes so tired. We go through the whole week, and you know we're physically tired, and you go through stuff at work, and it's constant. You know, I know. You know, it's the past year. I can't believe it's September, because like I said at that one men's camp a while ago, when you have children, you know, it's like busy. It's the whole time it's playtime. You know, it's you're full on busy. But I want to say, you know, we have the love of God that lives inside of us. No matter what we think, no matter what we feel, no matter what emotion we go through. The word says, it's not me that says that, you have the love of God. We have the Holy Spirit, therefore we have His love poured into our hearts. That love lives inside of us. It lives in all of us. Okay, now, we've established that we have the love of God that's in us. And again, it's not new news. The question is, what do we do with that love? And you all probably know the answer. But in John 15, verse 9-13, the heading is "Love and Joy Perfected." And you can also, you can read it over there, or you can go to the Word. Doesn't matter. But I want us to just quickly look at what are we actually called to do with this love that's inside of us. Are we called to just let it lie there? Are we called to just let it be and not do anything with it? And you might find something new in here that you've never seen in the scripture. And let's read it. As the Father loved me, it's Jesus speaking, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Let's just read again from verse 11 to verse 13, because that's actually the bit I want to focus on. And this is just a part of my introduction this morning. The bit that I actually want to get to is later on, which I think is the crunch. But this is just leading up to that, a bit of background. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. It's interesting that Jesus says it's a commandment. You know, we know the Old Testament and all those commandments, but this is a new commandment. He actually tells us, listen, you have to do this. I'm telling you, you have the love of God in you. Just said that, but this is a new commandment that you've received. Love one another as I've loved you. Now, bear with me in this next 5 or 10 minutes, because there's some good news at the end as well. I'm not putting before you a commandment, and God is not putting before you a commandment that you can't do, and where there's not something, if you want to say it like that, something in it for you. There's definitely something in it for you as we love one another. But I want to say to you, you know, it's sometimes tough. It's sometimes hard, things that we have to go through when we do love one another. You know, if we want to make it really practical, how do we love one another? It's interesting. You know, I can sit here on the chair and I can say, you know, if Louise was sitting next to me, you know, oh, I love you, and you know, you are so beautiful, and you are so great, and you're so wonderful, and I'm so thankful that you're in my life, and all those things. But if my actions don't back that up, my words are empty. My words are cheap, actually. So I think to make it practical, a few examples that I've just got here is, you know, the things we can do to make our love really practical, the people around us, the people that we say we love. You know, we can encourage them, we can pray for them, we can forgive them for the things that they've done. A difficult one, we can correct them. We sometimes think love is, if we're in a love relationship, we just allow the other person to express themselves, we allow the other person just to do whatever they want to do, but sometimes we have the wrong concept. You know, we sometimes need to say to the person, you know what, it's not fine if you come to home group at 8 o'clock, you know, we start at 7:30. We'd like you to be punctual, you know, correct the person. And sometimes it changes that person's life, because they've maybe never had that another person telling them, you know what, it's actually great. I've never had that correction in my life. Thank you very much. You know, that's actually, it's wonderful. And then the big one, helping people financially that's in a difficult financial situation. And also for the other person then to receive that and saying, thank you very much that you are willing to bless me, that you're willing to help me. It's one that we as a church, I know when I grew up in this church in Stellenbosch, that it's not something that we've moved to as a church, you know, and I'm not going to preach on that today, is, you know, where the ex-church was, you know, really dividing everything between each other. I know when people hear that, then they, you know, it's a bit of a, you know, they all start to make the sums and the calculations, as, you know, burning through their minds. But we'll leave that one for another day. And also, the last one is being there for each other. So there's a few practical things that we can do. I can say them again, you know, this is just a small list. But if you want to make your love practical, if we say we really love each other, you know, and there's not some of these things that back up our actions, then what does that love mean? You know, the things that we learn in marriage counseling and all the courses that we do is very much... It's not as much as how I express my love to the other person. It's how that person receives the love. If they don't receive what I'm trying to give, then my trying to give that love to that person is really, it's really meaningless. I need to get to a level where Louise, if she receives love in a certain way, I need to get to that place where I realize, hang on, these are the things that I actually need to do to express my love to her, because that's how she's put together. So as mature Christians, you know, that's something I just want to throw in there. A person on the other side needs to experience that love so that they realize, you know, I'm being loved here. If she is not into nice hotels or whatever, if she's not into, you know, going to the movies or whatever, if I love going to the movies and I love action movies, you know, a romantic evening out won't be to go and watch G.I. Joe, Rise of the Cobra, or whatever it's called, you know. It's not going to work. It's not what she likes doing. She just likes a quiet night out, just having something to drink, a nice glass of red wine or whatever, then, you know, moving to that place and maturing to that place, realizing, but that's actually what she wants. And I think a lot of things I've learned, it's something that Fred touched on at the camp, just by having children. It is it's a good learning curve. But you just learn a lot about yourself. But I'll just leave that there. I'm not preaching on that today. But you learn a lot about yourself. Something I've touched on, and sorry for the Mac this morning. I've got one of those printers that prints for 5 pages, and then there's no more ink left in the cartridge. So it's one of those frustrating printers. I just want to stop on this one thing, and that's emotions. We live in a world where love is very much portrayed as a very emotional thing. You know, you have to experience this whole affection, emotion. You know, if I don't experience that, then there isn't something there. Now, I want to hold before us the greatest love act ever. Jesus at the cross. Jesus in Gethsemane. Now, if you say to me, okay, he was jumping up and down in Gethsemane for what he was about to do, I will say to you, we're not reading the same story here. The guy's sweating blood. He's just about to do the greatest act ever, you know, in mankind's history. He's going to lay down his life for you and me, for sinners, because of his love. I mean, he wasn't jumping up and down. I wouldn't have been jumping up and down. We all know, and I think we have heard the whole medical experience, you know, when someone sweats blood, it's supposed to be extreme pressure, extreme stress that you're under. So I want to hold before you this picture that sometimes when we have to administer love, sometimes when we have to love someone, it's not always a pleasant experience. It's not always an experience where I first have all these emotional experiences before I get to a place where I realize, hang on, now I'm ready to love you. It's not what Jesus... Obviously, Jesus had to be emotional about us, yes. He loved us. So obviously, he went through certain emotional experiences. I'm sure of that. But that one experience... was so difficult for him. But still, he decided in Gethsemane to go through with it, to go through that act. And we are here because of that. You know, if he didn't go through with it, we wouldn't have been here. So much of our future, or so much of us, is really in that place in Gethsemane. And when you go to Israel, it's such a sacred place. It's such a place of it's just such a wonderful place just to go and visit. We need to mature and grow to a place that it's not always about how we feel. It can be about how we feel, but it's not always about my feelings, me. It's not always about what's happening in here. Okay, we can breathe. The love scripture is obviously found in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 8. Sorry, Josh, can I just have some of that water, please? And go to your Bibles then, and we can have a quick read, because we can't talk about love. We don't talk about 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 8. And this is actually what I want to preach upon today. This is actually the bit that I wanted to get to. And that is the Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, 90s movie, Endearing Love, or Endearing Love. Let's read there. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth." Okay, and this is the bit. "Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." So this sermon is about 1 Corinthians 13 verse 7. It says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, it endures all things. Not only are we called to love, but being called to endure in our love. We're called to keep at it. We're called to not, like someone being in a field that we see the picture that, you know, Jesus talked about putting your hands on that plow and then taking it off and walking away. No, we're called to put our hands on that plow and to plow the field and to go on. Don't stop loving the people around you. I mean, I'm preaching here about something that I've experienced, challenged in my own life, in my own marriage, actually. I'm challenged with the fact that, you know, will I love Louise if she stops doing what she's doing? You know, if she stops blessing me in the ways that she's always blessed me? If she all of a sudden, you know, stops meeting my expectations? You know, what will I do? Will I say, you know what? You're not meeting my expectations anymore. So I'm not here. You know, once you do all those things, once you meet my expectations, then yes, I will start to administer my love again. It's not what we're called for. We're called to love unconditionally. We're called to love that person, you know, no matter what. if they meet my expectation or don't meet my expectation. The love that I give her is, and it's, I guess it's like a triangle with God in the top, and we've probably seen it before, but there shouldn't be anything that comes in the way between my relationship with God and her. I should receive that love and then administer it to her. What she does or does not do shouldn't come in between that relationship between me and God. I should receive that love from God and then just administer it to her. And if I say to her, I mean to friends, to families, to whosoever. And that's the love that we have. We said at the beginning, do we have the love of God in us? Yes, we do. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. So don't for a moment think, anyone is excluded. We have the love of God in us. I don't have the excuse of saying, you know, I can withhold anything from anyone, because my love should actually really be like a worship song to God before I give it to someone, before I give it to away. I do need to bring some context to this, because it's obviously, I'm talking of a aspect of love. I'm really talking about going further than where we're at. Really pushing through. There's obviously times in our lives when we might have a friendship where we really went far above, you know, what God maybe have even called us to. But then we would say to that person, you know what, I've helped you to get up in the mornings at 7 because I phoned you, and I've helped you with, you know, just getting on your feet again and just help cooking for you. But now it's time for you to get on your own feet. So there's that aspect of that again. I'm obviously talking about the first bit of really going that extra mile. But just to bring some context, there's other aspects of love as well, you know, where we're not someone's doorstop or doormat where they can just walk over us. No, we lay our lives down willingly. We lay our lives down like Jesus laid down his life. No one forced him to do it. He laid it down willingly. So I want to say to us, you know, we're led by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be led by the Holy Spirit in this aspect of our lives as well. We don't go out there and just, you know, every person that we meet, we just shower them with our love, and, you know, we go off the rails. No, we're led by the Holy Spirit here. So this morning, my challenge to you really is, how far will you go? How far are you willing to go? God does not force anything upon us. He doesn't tell us, gives us a commandment. He tells us love one another, but at the end of the day, we have our own will. We have our own will. We make our own choices in life. But my challenge to you is this morning, how far are you willing to go? The standard that's set before us, we spoke about, is Jesus in Gethsemane. I can't give you a better example of the one that went all the way to the point of giving his life. Now that is I guess sometimes the challenge for the guy that stands up here. I think it's this is the word of God. He tells us this is my commandment, to lay down your life. And that is the truth. But it's the truth that sets us free. I've heard it many times. You first hear the truth and then you think, oh, it's quite tough. But then it sets you free actually afterwards. The standard set before us was Jesus, the cross. He died for our sins. He gave his life for imperfect people. We are challenged with the fact that we will, and I guess this is the bit that I learned in marriage, is I sometimes have to still keep on giving my love irrespective of what I receive back. I might even be the one that's right, but if you think about it, it doesn't really matter, does it? Who's right and who's wrong? It's about giving and giving, just giving. We lay it down living willingly. We love sinners just like Jesus did. We love each other, not knowing if we will ever get that love back. And that's where we need to move towards. That's the end game, really. We love unconditionally. So, I said, how far will you go? Husbands, there's groups here that I can single out. Will you love her even if she does not honor you? Wives, will you love him even if he's passive and if he doesn't lead? Friendships, will you remain a friend even if you don't receive the same back? And last group, it's probably one of the most important groups, is mothers. Will you keep blessing that child even if they never say thank you? And just say, thank you, Mom, for so much that you do to me and so much that you give me. So those are the groups that I felt, you know, is represented here. And I know this is tough, and it hits us many times, and it hits us very deeply. But that is what I felt the Lord wanted to tell us this morning, and wants to really just bring across. But what I also felt that he wanted to tell us is that there's actually some good news for us in this whole process. I think a lot of us realize in our relationship with God, you know, it's not like God just calls you to do something and then, you know, he just calls you to, like Jesus, you're just going to go and die for the people. Sorry. You're just going to give your life. No. What happened on the third day? He rose again. It's not just the fact that he died. He rose again. He was glorified. You know. So on the one hand, yes, he had to experience something extremely difficult. But the reward was the salvation of mankind. So I want to hold something before you this morning as well, that there is a reward actually for us when we go, call it a level deeper in our love relationship with God. It's not something that I hold before you, but that God holds before us. You know, just give your life, just give it away, just bear it, you know, just hold on and just give. No, there is something in it for us. Remember I said we are led by the Holy Spirit, so just keep the context of it as well. And the good news is actually found. It's something I read earlier. The good news is found in John 15 from verse 9 to 14. I said earlier, you know, we are no one's doormat. We lay our lives down willingly for each other. But let's read John 15 verse 9 to 14. It says the following: As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And this last verse we did read, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. But it's actually not that bit, if you go and read it very carefully. The bit that's in it for us is in verse 11. It says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. What's in it for us? joy uncontrollably. Now, okay, this is the extreme, but I'm going to say it in any case. How many people suffer with depression in this world? How many people suffer fear? How many people suffer shame? How many people suffer failure? Now, we might have just found a cure here for all those things. Being joy and the fullness of joy. Now, I know for me as a Christian, and don't get me wrong here, this is something I've started to just try to get to grips to, this thing, because it's kind of a thing where in your relationship with God, you really have to do that. You really have to step out of on that water. You really have to kind of let your defenses go. It feels so uncomfortable, but you know it's right. It feels as if you are dropping your defenses, and you're so open, you know, to the elements. But you know God is calling you to step out of that boat. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. You know, if God is leading you somewhere, and you're not, it just feels so different. Don't get your head in the way. You know, follow the Holy Spirit. But the thing that we can receive is joy uncontrollably. If we, and it's just found in the Scripture. It's not like it's a deep revelation or anything. It's just very clear there. It just says, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, if you keep my commandments, what is my commandment? That you love one another. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. That Jesus' joy might be part of our lives, and that your joy may be full. So this morning, what I believe is in it for us, when we really have to endure in our love, when we really have to bear it, what's in it for us is a deeper level of a relationship with Jesus. It's a deeper understanding of the love that was given for us, the love that Jesus had. And a fullness that's there for us to experience. I mean, I'm very honest with you when I say, you know, in my relationship with God, you know, there's times that I've not experienced his joy. It's not a case where we, you know, if we know Jesus, you know, I've certainly not, you know, experience that, you know, I've not always felt joy uncontrollably. I haven't. And the challenge that I face myself with, the challenge that I feel that we face ourselves with, this is really, you know, if we go deep in our relationship with God, this is something that God wants to bless us with. We don't do it just to get the joy, but we do it because of the love of Jesus that's in us, because of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. So just to summarize, the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have that love, and one of the things that I'm going to pray for in a short while is that we would just get our minds out of the way in our relationship with God. You know, this whole crowd here, you know, who has the Holy Spirit, has the love of God in them. So what we're just going to pray for is just to get to that place again where you just realize, you know, hang on, I have the love of God. The bit that I need to go and do is just the actions bit. I just need to go out there, not mechanically, but because of just this love that I know is inside of me, and that I just have to, it just compels me, it just tells me I have to speak to that guy at work. I have to go and do that, because there's just something in me that just drives me. There's just something in me that just stirs me on to go and do that. That's the love of God that's doing that in your life. And that's the bit that I think, you know, we can sit here for another 365 days. But the bit that we need to get right, if we just do those actions bit right, we are going to see so much blessing. We are going to see so much things happening if we get just that actions bit right. And I'm also now just speaking in my own life again, the bit that I'm getting to grips with. It's just that second part, really. So His love is poured out into our hearts. His commandment is that we love one another. And I've briefly challenged those different groups. I might just read it again. You know, husbands, will you love her even if she doesn't honor you? Wives, will you love and submit to him even if he's passive and doesn't lead, which is, I know, a very tough one. Friendships, will you remain a friend even if you don't receive anything back? And mothers, will you keep on blessing, you know, even if the child never says thank you? I've been so thankful for what my dad did for me, because it's not easy getting up on a Monday morning at 7 and trying, you know, sometimes not just wishing you can just lay in bed for another hour. But, you know, it is actually quite impressive if you think there's men out there, and I'm singling out the whole one group because it's just my experience towards my dad. But it is actually quite special to think that a guy, you know, for 5 days a week, 30 or 35 years, are so consistent, you know, go to work at 8 or 9, come back at 5 or 6 every day for 35 years. Just that is enough. So too, we can use a lot of other examples as well with wives and mothers. I mean, there's a lot of single mothers that I take my hat off for. So children, be thankful for what we have. But just to finish off, we can go into this deeper relationship with God. We can go into a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the bit that I feel and that I even feel now is mustard seed. Start small. Don't think big here. Start with a little bit. Start with that colleague at work, or start with that friend that you know about, just with that phone call, or just with anything, but just that little bit. Just start with that, and it will grow from there. If you're thinking of where to start, and I'm not experiencing it, or you have the love of God, but just start small, and take it from there. Amen. So I'm just going to pray for us now. If there is any specific needs afterwards, please do come forward and we'll pray for that. But I just feel I'm just going to pray for us as a whole group. Just that we come to grips with this love, but also that we get our minds out of the way, really, that we think we need to go and do 2 or 3 or 4 things before we have the love of God in us. No, we have the love of God in us through the Holy Spirit. It is there. So let's just close our eyes and then we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, Lord, that is sharper, Lord, than any two-edged swords, Lord God. It's so sharp, it cuts through, Lord God, into our lives and into our hearts, Lord. It touches, Lord God, the deepest part of our hearts, Lord God. And this morning, Lord, we just want to come and lay it all open before you, Lord God, our whole lives, Lord. Everything that it entails, Lord. We want to come and lay it all before you, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we all of us are in different stages of our lives, Lord God, different stages in our relationship with you. But there's one thing that's central for all of us, Lord God, one thing that binds us together, Lord, one thing that is similar, Lord God, and that is the fact, Lord, that we have the Holy Spirit, Lord, and the fact that we have your love, Lord God, that lives inside of us, Lord. And Lord, it is that love, Lord God, that we need to stir up again, Lord. It's that love, Lord God, that we need to just come and release again, Lord God, and just let it flow, Lord God, just in these lives, Lord, in our lives, Lord, that's represented here. Lord, we're not saying, Lord, that we're going to jump through hoops and we're going to do all sorts of things, Lord, mechanically, Lord. No, Lord, we pray, Lord, that this love, Lord, that has been just showered upon us, Lord God, that is so huge and just actually, Lord, it's so big, Lord. We pray that a little bit, even if it's just, Lord, that mustard seed, Lord God, that little bit of love, Lord, that we then just take to give to the people around us, Lord. And Lord, we know that you can multiply, Lord. We know, Lord God, that you can take that love, Lord, and just use it, Lord. Lord, that mustard seed becomes something bigger, Lord. It becomes, Lord God, massive, Lord, that it's so big, Lord God. And that's just what I pray for us this morning, Lord, that we will not withhold, Lord, that seed that we have, Lord, that seed of love that we have for one another. I pray for us, Lord God, that we will not withhold that, Lord. So therefore, I just pray for courage, Lord. I pray just for a willingness, Lord, a willing heart. And Lord, for those of us whose love has just run cold, Lord God, for those of us who just feels a bit empty this morning, Lord, I just pray for them that you will just come and fill them, Lord, with your love. Just come and shower them again with your love, Lord God. I pray that they will think back to those early days when they got saved, Lord God. Just those precious, precious early days, Lord, where you just took them, Lord God, from their old lives, and you just changed them, Lord, in an instant, in a blink of an eye, Lord. You just changed their lives, Lord. Oh, Lord God, sometimes time, Lord, can be a thing that we need to get to grips with. Things sometimes change over time, Lord, but, Lord, you are the God, Lord, where 1,000 days can be like one, Lord. And I just pray that we will also experience that, Lord God, that even today, Lord, as we rest on the Sabbath day, Lord, that we'll just really experience you, Lord, in what we do. So we thank you, Lord God, just for the fact that we can have your Holy Spirit, for the fact that we can have your love. We just want to praise you for that, Lord, and just thank you for that, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, just for courageous hearts here to go out, Lord God, and to go and give that love. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.